Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Will Galkin. It was presented in September of 2006. The title to the message, Trusting God When It Hurts.
Genesis 37, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Now Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. This morning, I'm going to be preaching to us about trusting God when it hurts. You know, every single one of us has hurts or trials. In fact, if I was asked the right question, the right way, in the right setting, it'd be amazing how many tears would start to flow. In fact, some of you, you're just one question away from tears. But all hurts, all trials, are to make us more like Christ. You see, all hurts and all trials are to make us more like Christ. In fact, if we look at the story of Joseph, when we look at the story of his 12 brothers, we begin to piece together a story of how that a bunch of hurt was distributed and how that many people got hurt. There were the 12 sons of Jacob. They came from four different mothers. Can you imagine having four different moms in your house? I had two older sisters, and so I joke sometime that I had mom one, mom two, and mom three, you know? But all these four mothers, and they were all jockeying for the attention and affection of their dad and all the insecurity. In verse 3, it says, Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And you know what started to happen? These other boys, they began to get bitter. You know what bitterness is? It's harbored hurt. It's a splinter of life that gets in the heart and it hurts. A splinter of life gets into the heart and it hurts. You know what a bitter person is saying? They're saying, God, you took away something I wanted to keep. Or God, you did not give me something that I wanted to have. God, you took away something. Or God, you did not give me something. And this Joseph was loved more than all his other brethren. And verse 4 says, And when their brethren saw that the father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. You see, Joseph, until Benjamin came along, he was the baby of the family. He was given a coat of many colors. He was not required to work when the rest of the other brothers were required to work. And to make matters worse, Joseph dreams some dreams. How many of you can remember this story? Would you raise your hand? You see, Joseph dreamed this dream that he was a sheaf of wheat, and all the other brothers were sheaves of wheat, and all their sheaves of wheat bowed down to him. And then he dreamed he was a star, and all the stars and the sun and the moon, they bowed down to him as well, and their pride was wounded. Has your pride ever been wounded before? Have you ever given somebody a suggestion and they didn't take it? How many of you that's ever happened before? Have you ever given somebody a suggestion and they took it and they used it and then they didn't give you credit for it? How many of you have ever had that happen before? How many of you have ever worn some new clothes and like a friend never said anything about it and then all of a sudden this other girl comes on the scene with some brand new clothes and everyone makes a big deal about her? You ever told a joke and nobody laughed and then another friend said the same joke and everybody laughed? Their pride was wounded. But that's why in Philippians it says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You see, Joseph gave an evil report. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble because of the big mouth of somebody else? Would you raise your hand? Some of us, we get all angry because of somebody else's big mouth and somebody else gets us in trouble. But what did these brothers do because of their bitterness? You know what they did? Verse 4, it says, they said mean things. They could not speak peaceably unto him. Do you know that your tongue reveals your heart? What you say about other people is really what's going on in your heart. And some of you, you've said angry words about your parents. You've said angry words about your cousin. You've said angry words about your teacher. You've said these words that reveal your heart. Verse 11, they envied him. And his brother envied him, and his father observed the saying. You know what envy is? Envy is a little bit more evil than jealousy or covetousness. Covetousness is where you want somebody else's possession. Envy is you want somebody to be hurt just like you were hurt. You've got a heart that you want somebody to get evil to happen to them because they administered evil to you, and because they hurt you with their words and they hurt you with their actions, you want them to be hurt just as bad. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. When somebody slapped his face, did he walk up to people and say, let me tell you how this feels? When people cursed his name, did he let profanity come out of his lips? No, when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. These brothers, they got envious. And it could be that there's some of you that you are envious of another girl in this school. There's some of you, you're envious of another guy. Some of you, you're envious of a teacher. And you hope that that teacher hurts like you hurt. See, they wanted to murder him, but then they lied to the father, and they lied, and they stole his coat. Remember, here comes Joseph, and they strip him of his clothes. They throw him down into a pit. They sit down, eat bread. They take his coat of many colors. They rip it up into pieces, and they dip it into goat's blood, and then they walk up to their father, and they're like, Father, could it be? Is this your son's coat? Oh, no. Surely, he's been rent in pieces. Do you know what I find is that bitter people, they rationalize their ability to lie and steal. Because God did not give you what you want to have, or God took away something you wanted to keep, then it's okay to lie. It's okay to steal to get it. They were cold to the feelings of Joseph, cold to the needs of the father. They just sat down and ate bread as Joseph is in this pit. You know what? Bitterness sometimes is expressed with anger. And some of you, you get angry all the time. You're like, do you know Old Faithful in Yellowstone Park in the United States there? And every 55 minutes, this geyser of water, it comes up and it explodes. And it just every 55 minutes, some of you, you blow your top and you get angry. But some of you, you don't get angry with an outward explosion. You get angry by getting icy. In fact, some of you, when your parents talk, you create this imaginary invisible wall and you build the wall brick by brick by brick, and it gets higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, and all of a sudden your teacher or your authority, your parents talking to you, and you're staring right through them, right through their eyes, and they're looking at your eyes, but nobody's home. You see, they couldn't even help their dad. You see, the dad in verse 34, he says, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Do you understand that bitter people can't help people? Bitter people can't do ministry. If there's a teacher here that ever gets bitter towards a student, guess what? All of a sudden, your whole ministry is going down the tubes, because now you're saying, God doesn't love me, God's not in control, God's not wise, and so then in turn, you're not going to have love for the students. And the same is true for the students. If you allow a bitterness in your heart, you will not be able to do ministry at all. But you see in verse 18 that the minute they saw him was the minute their anger was stirred up. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Is there anyone that could walk in those doors and stand right here and your heart would be filled with anger? Samurais, is there anyone that could come in through those doors and stand right here, and you would get so angry in your heart that you'd put your head down and you wouldn't listen? Is there anybody that can call and you see their number on caller ID and you just hang up the phone because you don't want to talk to them? Is there emails that come into your inbox and you just delete them because you can't stand them? Look up here. I want you to answer that question. Is there anyone that you are so angry with that the minute you see them, the minute you hear their name, the minute that you hear them talk, you get angry in your soul? You see, there are some stages to bitterness. It starts off with in irritation. It hurts. But you know what? Joseph, he could have got bitter, huh? How many of you know some reasons why Joseph could have got bitter? He got betrayed by his own flesh and blood. You know, it hurts when you get betrayed by people you love, doesn't it? The closer a person is, the deeper they can stab the knife. Is that not true? And some of you, you've had hurtful words come like an arrow into the heart, or somebody snuck up with a stiletto and they put the ugly words into your back, or they assaulted you with a frontal assault with a machine gun of their vocabulary, and it hurt and the wounds went deep. They were betrayed by their own flesh and blood. And some of you, you've got some hurts because of a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad, or a cousin, or a nephew, or somebody that you care about. What could have also caused Joseph to become bitter? What about the fact that he was separated from his dad? Would that have hurt? Here they were separated from the father, but then the brothers treated him mean. You remember that little kid's phrase? I don't know if you ever said it in Guam, but we said this as kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you guys ever heard that? Isn't that a lie? That is so dumb. Like, words don't hurt. But then Joseph was thrown in jail for resisting temptation. Remember Joseph? He's like Mrs. Potiphar saying, hey, come sleep with me. Hey, commit immorality with me. Nobody will have to find out. And Joseph's like, no. How can I do this wickedness against God? No, I'm not going to. No, no. And finally, she grabs a hold of his clothes, and he runs, and he leaves like his cloak or his coat or robe or something, and he runs, and she yells rape. And he gets thrown in prison for doing what's right. Have you ever suffered for doing what's right? I've known students before in a school like this that you tried to stand up for God, and then all of a sudden some other students made fun of you, and in your heart you got so upset, you're saying, I'm taking a stand for you, God. Why are they making fun of me? Why are they saying these things about me? This is not fair. Okay, God, if you're going to let me be made fun of, then I'm not even going to stand for you. And the reason why you're a coward and the reason why you cave into the fear of man is because you're bitter and you don't think God will help you. You ever suffer for doing what's right? These are the unchangeables. Maybe your parents had to move. Maybe you had to go somewhere you really didn't want to go. But then Joseph was forgotten in prison by the butler for 2 years. Loneliness hurts, doesn't it? I have tasted loneliness. I know loneliness. And there's some of you, when you start to drink the cup of loneliness, you get angry. And in your bitterness, you run to the world. I know loneliness. But it's there in the desert that you finally start to see that Jesus Christ can be your very best friend. He's the one that sticketh closer than a brother. And some of you, you want to be men and women of God, but you don't want to go through the season. You want the product, but you don't want the process. You want the joy of having this great walk with God without having to depend on Him and Him alone. But what was Joseph's response to these trials? You know what his response was? It was to trust God and to forgive others. You can see that his view of God was correct. You see it in how that he named his children. Look in Genesis 41, verse 51. You see, here he is. He testifies to the Pharaoh. He says, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Oh, Pharaoh, I think you better get a man who can administrate all this for you. And Pharaoh says, I don't know anyone that has the Spirit of God like you. And so, Joseph, you're now from the prison to prime minister. And Joseph, you've got a job. And here's a wife. And then Joseph has two sons, and he names them Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh, it means this, for God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. By him naming his child Manasseh, what it was meaning is this, is that Joseph still hurt. Can I tell you something? It is okay to hurt. It's just not okay to be bitter. And Joseph, he still hurt, because some of you, you've asked God to forgive you of being bitter before, but just because you confess your bitterness, it doesn't mean that the trial goes away. And then he says, Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He said, God, you took my pain and you've turned it into eternal joy. The story goes, here comes Joseph's brothers. And they're saying, give us some food. And so Joseph gives them food, but says, you can't have more food till Benjamin comes back down here. And so they get Benjamin to finally come down. And then Joseph sets it up where Benjamin's going to have to go to jail. And Manasseh and Judah and Simeon, they said things like, no, we can't let Benjamin go to jail. This would kill our father. And Joseph hears it. And Joseph falls on their face, on his face, on their chest, and he hugs their neck. And he says, it's I. It's Joseph, the brother you've not seen for 14 to 17 years. It's I. It's Joseph. And the brothers, they're scared to death because now Joseph could kill them all. And finally, they go get daddy, Jacob, and they bring Jacob down to Egypt. And then Jacob dies, and Jacob is buried in the promised land. And then all the brothers, they send a messenger who goes to Joseph and says, Joseph, are you going to kill us now? You see, Joseph could have taken a spike. He could have taken a sword. He could have taken some arrows or a dart, and he could have thrust it through each of the hearts of those brothers. But he looked at those brothers and he said, brothers, in verse 20 of Genesis 50, he said, brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. Joseph was not sweeping under the carpet their evil behavior. He said, you thought evil against me. Here's Joseph. He's saying, you thought evil against me, brothers, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day. God is wise. He does what is best for your life in the right time, at the right moment, not a minute late and not a minute too soon. God is wise to save much people alive. God is in control. God is sovereign. You see, bitterness takes the two attributes of God, of God's love and his sovereignty, and makes them in opposition to one another and says, God, if you're in control, then you must not love me. Or God, if you love me, you must not be in control. But then he goes on and he says, now therefore, fear ye not. How many of you think that there were times that Joseph was afraid? Would you raise your hand? Like when those brothers rose up against him and stripped him of his clothes? When he's getting dragged behind the Midianite camels? When he's getting sold as a slave? When Mrs. Potiphar yells rape? And yet he looks at his brothers and he says, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you. And he comforted them. And he spake kindly to them. You see, Joseph's words revealed the forgiveness in his heart. The very first thing we saw that the brothers did in their bitterness was to speak evil, was that the opposite of what Joseph did when he spoke kindly to his brother. Sit up, please. And you know what? Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It could be that there are, and I believe that there are students here, that you're wrestling with forgiveness, and you're wrestling with hurt because of a situation with your dad, or a situation with your mom, or a brother or a sister or some circumstance in life. And let me just very rapidly give you 6 points on how to handle your hurt. And point number one is this: to forgive, you must be forgiven. For you to sacrificially love another person, you must be saved. It's impossible for you to love another person in a consistent, disciplined way if you have not been saved yourself. Because Ephesians 4 says this. It says, put off anger, put off wrath, put off malice, put off clamor, put off evil speaking, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For you to forgive another person, you must be saved. And if you are saved, for you to forgive another person, it starts with you thinking about how much that you deserve punishment and how that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sins. Point number one, to handle your hurt, to forgive, you must be forgiven. Point number two, recognize that your anger is directed ultimately at God. You see, it takes the two attributes of God. God, if you're loving, then you must not be in control. God, if you're in control, you must not love me. Because if it's towards your authority, who gave you your parents? Ninjas? Who gave you your parents? Talk to me. Who? I mean, what choice did you have with your parents? None. You see, if your anger is towards your authority, it is directed ultimately at God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. If it's about life circumstances, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And some of you, you're hurting over a life circumstance, and it's time for you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Recognize that your anger is directed ultimately at God. But then number three, confess your sin to God and be ready to forgive those that have hurt you. To confess your sin, you're simply saying, God, I was wrong. God, I've doubted that you love me. God, I've doubted that you're in control. Oh, God, forgive me. But then number four, begin renewing your mind with Scripture. The reason so many of you do not change is because you're sloths. You don't take the time to renew your thinking. A friend of mine, his parents got a divorce when he's 14. He had a hard life. He didn't believe that God loved him. And so you know what my friend did? He got a cassette player. Do you guys remember what cassettes are, right? You remember what cassettes are? And he recorded on this cassette player 45 minutes of verses about God's love. And then he typed out a whole nother on his word processor, this whole list of these 45 minutes worth of verses. And for 30 days in the morning, he'd just put on his headphones and he'd press the play on that little cassette player. And then he'd listen to those verses about God's love. And he'd read through those verses on God's love. And God changed his head. And some of you, the reason why you struggle with the same old, same old, same old, same old, because you won't let the word of God change your head. Some of you need to get desperate to change, where you come to the place where you would seek God's face with all of your heart. But then number five, ask those that you've been outwardly angry with to forgive you. You know, when I was getting bitter towards my mom and I was getting icy, my mom-in-law, I called her up. I said, Mom, this is my wife's mom. I said, Mom, I just want to ask your forgiveness. I've been icy and bitter towards you. Would you please forgive me? Our third baby was born, and this time this baby was born in Atlanta, and we flew my mom-in-law out again, and she flew out. This time we put her in a hotel, you know? We got smart. But we had such a fun time with my mom-in-law and all these things, and we're on the way back to the airport. The baby was born and everything. We're on the way to the airport. My mother-in-law, she reaches over, and she grabs my arm, and she says, Will, you are just a great son-in-law. Man, you are one of the best people. You're just a great, great person. And I have no fears about you traveling around this country. And I have no concerns about you being a good daddy and a good husband to my daughter. And you're just a great person. And she kept on saying nice things. And I'm like, could you say that again, please? You know, I'm so thankful that God about two years earlier allowed one of us to go up to the other one and ask for forgiveness. You know what would have happened if one of us hadn't asked for forgiveness? You know what would have happened? Oh, we would have come together for Christmas and she would have been over there and I would have been over there and we would have said, I'm not bitter, but we would have never had any joy, no relationship. And some of you, you know, you need to go home and you need to say to your dad, Dad, I'm wrong. Would you forgive me of my anger and being icy? Mom, I'm wrong for being angry and yelling. Mom, brother, sister, I'm sorry. But then step number six, and I don't think until we get this step number six that we will ever learn how to deal with our hurts. And number six is learn to be thankful. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Learn to be thankful. There was this man. He called me up. My brother-in-law works for Ford, and we pull our trailer with a Ford 350. And he called me up and said, Will, you want a new truck? It's cheaper, better, faster, all sorts of things. But you've got to buy the truck right away. And I said, well, I don't know. And a friend of mine, a different friend said, Will, I just got a trailer given to me, but I need to buy a truck. Do you know anyone that's selling one? And I said, well, I might be selling my old one. He says, where would you be selling? I said, well, I got to go to Michigan. And he says, that's where I've got to pick up my trailer. And it was just a half an hour away from each other. We thought, well, maybe this is of God. I said, let's pray about it for a day. And so we prayed about it, and I got back on the phone and said, hey, I'll sell you my truck for so much money, and then you can go get your trailer. And so I go up there, and I get my truck, and I give them my old truck, and they give me a check, and I walk in and get this new truck, and all these things, and then I'm getting this truck from this guy by the name of Jim, and Jim starts asking me about my family, because he said, this is a big truck. He said, tell me about your kids. I said, well, I've got two and one on the way, and we're talking, and I said, what about your kids? His head goes down like that. I said, what's the matter? He goes, my boy, 8 years ago, died when he was 7. He got hit by a car. I said, I'm sorry. I said, how are you and your wife doing with this? He goes, terrible. He said, we got a divorce. We didn't know how to deal with the pain. I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know about this. All of a sudden, his face kind of hardened back up, and he said, well, go to lunch, come back, and then we'll sign some papers. And I said, how about you and I go to lunch, and you let me tell you how you can have a relationship with God through Christ Jesus? And this man looks at me, and he goes, okay. And we go to this little restaurant, and I mean, I didn't even bring my Bible. We're just going to lunch, and I got my placemat, and I turn it over, and I'm writing out how he can be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ alone, and how God can forgive him of all his sins. And as I'm going through all these things, look right up here. Nobody go. We're almost done. You just stay put. Look right up here. Look right up here. And I said, this is how you can be saved from your sins. And right there, this 41-year-old man, he's got this little tear in his eye. And I said, how about we go out to my truck, and how about you get saved? And we go out to the truck, and this 41-year-old man, he's just got some tears coming down because he just hurt so bad because of his son. And he said, oh, dear Lord, forgive me of my anger. Oh, dear God, forgive me of my sinfulness. Oh, God, please save me. And this man has got tears coming down his face. He looked at me, and he goes, man, I feel like I got set up. This is so strange that you would come here and tell me about Christ. And I told him the whole story, how I wasn't even planning on being there a week before and how God worked it all out. And I said, let me ask you a question. Can you see that the thing that's caused you the most pain, the death of your son, is actually that which God wants to use to bring you the most joy, which is salvation? And he looked at me and said, Will, this is the first time in my life that I ever even thought it was remotely possible that I could ever be thankful for the death of my child. You know, until you begin to realize that all trials and all hurts are to make us more like Jesus, we'll stumble into the same bitterness over and over and over. You see, God's good. God is sovereign. He is in control.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Trusting God When It Hurts by Evangelist Will Gulkin. It was originally presented in September of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.